affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark. Affiliates head on with Bob Kincaid in 30 seconds. Mark.
Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock here in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the little dust-up we call Head On. My God, last night was like bamboo under the fingernails. We didn't even get halfway through the show. Between telephones blowing up, T1 lines going down, goodness me, it was a nightmare. It was just awful. Poor Ben Birch on his end, wondering what's going on. Emails flooding into the box. What in heaven's name has happened? I guess there were some people out there that thought maybe the black helicopters had finally come for me. But they didn't. And the thunderstorms went by, and I spent the day working with... the man who makes the telephones work, the honorable and estimable Jeffrey Skaggs, making things cook again, and it was weird. Yeah, once again, we just had to have proven to us that in fact these machines are a lot smarter than we are. But everything works. The phones work. If you want to get involved in the program, you know now how to do it. 877-443-2366. Or 304-658-3333. Either way is fine by me. Email to Bob at headonradio.com or Agnes at headonradio.com, depending on which of us you want to get in touch with. And a reminder, feel free to drop on by my website, headonradio.com. Jump in on the message boards there. Enjoy yourself. It's free. It's easy. And it's freewheeling. I'm a First Amendment kind of guy. Don't believe in a lot of censorship. Don't believe in a lot of... I don't moderate the boards. You know, what's the old saying up the holler? Root hog or die. Tough hide lasts the longest. And that's, it'd be nice if folks would use clean language, but... things are going to happen. I figure the same standards I apply here should apply at the board. Anything I can't say on the air shouldn't be written on the boards. Good for you, good for me. So a little election business last night. A resounding victory for the Democrats in Virginia. Continuing the era of prosperity begun by Mark Warner, who couldn't run again as a function of Virginia law. His lieutenant governor, Mr. Kane, Mr. Kane. Keen? Kane? See, there was a Jersey guy who spelled Keen and pronounced it Kane. It's like in England, people whose names are C-O-K-E and they're pronounced Cook. Mr. Kane. Governor Kane. Soon to be Governor Kane. Congratulations in Virginia. Congratulations to incoming Democratic Governor Corzine in New Jersey. Congratulations to the new mayor of Minneapolis, who will be replacing a Bushlick mayor there. Congratulations all the way around on a number of... but of course... And congratulations and little golf clap for the citizens of Dover, Pennsylvania, who threw out the dunderheaded dolts who were trying to teach, sneak evolution in on the unsuspecting students of Dover with their intelligent design foolishness. Almost the entire bunch got ditched. The creationists there in Dover that got their school district embroiled in a huge wad of litigation. So congratulations all the way around. Well, there was one setback. Where? Come on, you know this is easy. Texas. This Texas constitutional amendment. It's absolutely fascinating. This is some of the worst drafting that has ever taken place. There's been a lot of discussion to the effect that the Texas statute or Texas constitutional amendment actually manages to void all marriages in Texas. And it's a valid argument if you go and you read the language. It appears to be absolutely certain, if nothing else, that in the eyes of Texas, you know, remember, the eyes of Texas are upon you, nobody anywhere else is married either, at least if they set foot in Texas. Talk about your quickie divorce. The language of the amendment forbids the recognition of marriage. Yeah, this is one of those that kind of make your eyes roll back in your head. So, honey, you know that charming second honeymoon we were going to take down to Terlingua? That one we've always dreamed of?
Don't even start.
Because Texas doesn't recognize, well, they don't recognize our West Virginia marriage anymore. It's almost a secession.
No one recognizes West Virginia marriages. What are you talking about?
Well, last night they said so in their hateful little constitutional amendment. Check it out. This is the language. Quote, "This state or a political subdivision of this state may not create or recognize any legal status identical or similar to marriage." You know, kind of a shame for us after we went through all that broom hopping and everything. I guess they just ran plumb out of family values down in Texas. Hey, you guys figure it out. It seems obvious enough to me.
Did they know what they were doing?
Our West Virginia marriage is no good in Texas. Neither is a marriage from Alabama, Arizona, New York, North Dakota. Oh, my God, even a marriage from Wyoming. So that means big-time Dick Cheney and Lynn. If they ever set foot back in Texas, they're living in sin. Because, you see, it says that the state nor any political subdivision thereof can recognize anything like marriage or marriage. The people of Texas just seceded from the Union. Because this just takes a big, steaming, right all over the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution of the United States. You know what the full faith and credit clause is. That's the part of the Constitution that says a law that's binding in one state shall be binding in another. You know, say you've got your West Virginia driver's license and you decide to go over the state line into Pennsylvania. The full faith and credit clause of the Constitution says that the PA cops can't just pull you over and arrest you for not having a West Virginia driver's license. Or for a Pennsylvania driver's license. You see what I mean? The Texas Rangers, not the ball club, the cops, can't just pull over some poor guy driving across from Oklahoma and say, "Oh, you're not licensed to drive in Texas, Buster." You see what a mess this creates? This is the Texican hat dance done on one of the common bonds that literally holds this entire union together. This state or a political subdivision of this state may not create or recognize any legal status identical or similar to marriage. You follow that? My God, what if there are the out-of-state people who are in Texas now? They're not married anymore. Isn't that amazing? How stupid are these right-wing thugs who ramrodded this constitutional amendment through? It amazes me. Let's take our first break. Come back. We'll go to the phones. A reminder, 304-658-3333 or 877-4-HEAD-ON. I'm Bob Kincaid.
In a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 Twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack,
Every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
I don't want to die like James A.G. in the back of some taxi on... I don't want to die like James A.G. in the back of some taxi on the run. So much time wasted. The feast of life just tasted, then it's gone. But the life that he was living and the gift that he was given were all one.
The bad because liberals built the good. America. Head on
the
with Bob Kincaid.
The madness and love, it's all or none.
All right, welcome back. Almost 21 minutes after the hour and straight to the phones. Jim waited patiently. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
You know, this thing with full faith and credit, that also applies to currency as well.
Sure it does. Hey, maybe American money doesn't spend in Texas anymore. Wonder how those wingnuts will like that.
Well, I'm not sure what they're trying to do, but apparently they don't understand the importance of language and the precision of language, particularly as it applies to the law, you know?
Well, the front end of this whole thing that I heard, Jim, was people saying, you know, the business about marriage, you know, they just dissolved all marriages in Texas, too.
You mean they're all living in sin?
That or Dallas.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Anyway, maybe they're all just so disgruntled because of what happened in Virginia and New Jersey and in California. They just, maybe they're just at sixes and sevens. What do you think?
Nines, tens, and elevens, too, Jim, because, well, you know, eight ballot initiatives in California, and it was a resounding hasta la vista, baby, for the governor, wasn't it?
Well, I think the girly men took care of Conan, you know?
Yeah, he may be reduced to being Conan the librarian now.
Well, I'll never forget the first words I heard him utter were, "Crush your enemies, seize and driven before you, and hear the lamentations of the women."
Yeah, always with the women.
The women, remember?
Right. Women, vermin, yeah, it's the same thing to a Republican, right?
Well, I guess so. And, you know, on Lou Dobbs tonight, there's some people who are really upset about this 9/11 thing and this Abel Danger situation. Have you heard about that?
I'm familiar with it, Jim, and it seems like it's a story that just won't go away.
Well, it's never going to go away until it's solved, and they're trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this goes all the way into the Bush administration. Now, the Republicans are trying to pin it on Clinton. However...
Well, everything is Clinton's fault. We're used to that now, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous how they resurrect Bill Clinton and stuff like that. But, I mean, you know, this thing happened on George Bush's watch, and it happened on their watch, and they knew what was going on. And as far as I'm concerned, the whole thing is just a shameful cover-up. And you know, I think that we're going to see some heads roll over this.
Well, I'm willing to wait. Not too long. I'd like to see it happen soon, but I'm willing to wait. And if last night's any indication, America may well be done with Bushivism.
Well, you know, Bob, revenge is a dish which tastes so much better when it's eaten cold.
It does.
And that's the only thing I can say about these people. And they've been in power, and they've ridden roughshod over individuals. They trample the Constitution. They thumb their nose at the law. And, you know, you just can't do that and get away with it. You can do it some of the time, but you can't do it all the time. And, you know, chickens will come home to roost.
I hope it's a whole flock, Jim. I really do.
Oh, it'll be a whole mess of them, let me tell you.
All right, Jim, you take care.
Yes, sir.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Bye now. Just to go back to the Texas thing, the reason that people were concerned in Texas, watching Laws Made and what was it? Watching Laws Made and watching Sausage Made, the two things you never want to see happen. This thing starts off and defines marriage as marriage in this state shall consist only of the union of one man and one woman. And then it says this state may not create or recognize any legal status identical to marriage. In other words, this is marriage and you can't have any. So at the very least, some wiseacres out there are bound to file some litigation over this, and it should be interesting. And the best part, now you know how the knuckle breathers and the mouth breathers, knuckle walkers and the mouth breathers are, Tony Perkins, Norman, Tony Perkins from Family Resource Council, and Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, Beat Children Until They Cry Real Tears. You know those freaks. You know how they holler and squeal and scream about marriage is under attack, and their other line of argument is we must stop these activist judges. Activist judges are going to be the end of America, legislating from the bench. Oh, Jesus. I mean, we've all heard it. Dig this. Because of the squirrely manner in which this Texas constitutional amendment is written, the only way to fix it between now and the next election cycle is for some judge on the bench to get all activist and say what that law really meant, and instead of the plain language that the mouth breathers intended. In other words, a judicial activist is going to have to legislate from the bench. Oh, God, isn't it fun when we get to make them eat it? Yes, it is. Tell you what, bottom of the hour break, and then we'll come back. Expand on this just a little bit. It could get fun. It will get fun. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The crops are all in, and the peaches are rotting. The oranges are piled, and their Crayola's so done. Flying them back to the Mexican.
It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
As I sing Joni the Jehovah Witness stripper. Wears expensive blouses. She tells her mama she's cleaning houses. She goes out witnessing, doing the Lord's work all week. But on the weekend, she's making ends meet. Joni, the Jehovah Witness stripper, put $1 in her G-string. And she'll deliver. If her daddy only knew, he'd probably kill her. Joni, the Jehovah Witness stripper. One night down at the club, her daddy walked in. He didn't recognize his daughter dancing. She wore a blonde wig, he had sunglasses. When she got naked, he started clapping. Joni, the Jehovah Witness stripper, put $1 in her G-string, and she'll deliver. If her daddy only knew, he'd probably kill her. Joni, the Jehovah Witness stripper, and we'll try solo. If you ask her why she does it, she looks at it this way. She says, I'm counting my blessings every night when I get paid. She once lived in poverty and now everything's alright. The Lord showed her how to make $1,000 a night. Joni, the Jehovah Witness stripper, put $1 in her G-string and she'll deliver. If her daddy only knew, he'd probably kill her. Joni, the Jehovah.
Hey, welcome back. 32 and a half minutes past the hour, and wanted to just flesh out a wanted to just flesh out a couple of things about this Texas foolishness. If you think about it, the what that thing does is it's a raving violation of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And, of course, we all know that a state constitution cannot violate the federal one. Well, it only makes sense. You know, John Marshall at the very beginning of things said, look, the federal constitution trumps all others. Well, out of this silly garbage that happened yesterday in Texas comes news that a church in Texas known as the world's largest lesbian and gay church said today that it's going to continue marrying same-sex couples despite the actions of the bigots and the Klansmen who voted for this measure in Texas yesterday. The Cathedral of Hope has been marrying same-sex couples for 35 years and will continue to do so, said Reverend Dr. Joe Hudson, rector and senior pastor of the cathedral in Dallas. The voter-approved constitutional amendment, known as the Texas Marriage Amendment, boy, they amended the hell out of marriage, didn't they, quote, will enshrine discrimination in the state's constitution. Unfortunately, what we cannot offer them beyond the marriage and the church is the more than 1,100 civil rights and protections that are offered at the opposite sex couples that we also marry, according to Dr. Hudson. There is a way to put an end to this stupidity once and for all. You take a church that marries people of the same gender, the same sex, and not necessarily the individual couple getting married, but that church sues. Why, you ask?
Well, because we've got a litigation-crazy society.
No, no. Civil rights are everybody's civil rights. And contrary to popular belief, the only groups in this country that have religious freedoms are not the right-wing religion industry. Every religion, every faith has religious freedom, at least to some extent or another. I don't think Rastafarians are being allowed to smoke dope yet, and there was that story a year or so ago about the little sect in, the Southwest that was being persecuted for its hallucinogenic root usage, which is stupid to begin with, not their usage of the root. I don't care how you worship, frankly. But to persecute them for how they get in touch with God. I mean, there are Christian sects out there that believe that when they eat the holy saltine, it really does turn into Jesus meat in their belly. They believe that. So, far be it from me, So what happened? What I'm getting at here is when a government, be it a state government, county government, federal government, when that government tells a religious group that, for instance, two people of the same gender can't get married, what are they doing? If, in fact, marriage is a sacrament within that church, what are they doing? They are... It's plain, it's simple, it's clear as can be. They are trampling on that church's First Amendment rights. And the First Amendment rights of a church, any church, are as good as that of Dobson's snake handling gang, or Richard Land's SoBapCons, or Jerry Falwell's Southern Baptist Thugs, or Pat Robertson, or the Presbyterians down at Coral Snake Ministry, Dr. James Kennedy. The religious practices of the Cathedral of Hope in Dallas are every bit as valid and important as those of anyone else. And if they... It's just an idea. But think about it. If the Cathedral of Hope was to sue in Texas, claiming their First Amendment rights were being violated, the other churches would have to get in line with them, or else agree that it's okay to suppress various and sundry religious sacraments. Now, wouldn't that be a hell of a note for Dr. Dobson? Wouldn't that just make Benny Hinn's hair curl? Wouldn't that just make Pat Robertson wish he was still the liquor supply officer in the Army? What you have to learn to do is to paint these weirdos into a corner, and once they're in that corner, you whomp them about the head and shoulders with their own bigotry. With their own bigotry. You get it? You see how it works? Wouldn't it be beautiful? And a list came out today from the federal government. The State Department issued its report on global religious freedom. And there are 8 countries on the list that are supposedly guilty of particularly egregious abuses. Those 8 countries are Burma. Is it Myanmar now? I don't know. Burma, China, North Korea, Eritrea, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, and Vietnam. Now, we will raise a big old ruckus about Burma We will scream from the rooftops the religious persecution that is going on in North Korea. Eritrea will be absolutely flayed for their religious intolerance. Iran will be, well, Iran. Hell, we might nuke them for their religious intolerance. And Sudan and Vietnam will all take a thrashing. Out of that list, who did I not know? China. China. Saudi Arabia. You know, Saudi Arabia, where they produce textbooks that tell little preschool kids, like the little kid that had to undress, take off his costume on Halloween out in Oklahoma. Kids that little get taught in Saudi Arabia from texts that say, "And in the end of days, a rock will speak to a Muslim and say, 'O Muslim, come here, for a Jew hides behind me. Come and kill him.'" Yeah, that's Dick and Jane in Saudi Arabia. That's C-Spot Run for Medina. Nice, nice. But, well, you know, they're Bush family business partners, so it'll be a lot simpler just to hammer on North Korea. And maybe hammer on Iran a little bit harder, because we are certainly not going to say anything that would make the Chinese angry now, are we? I mean, look, do you remember shortly after President, best part of him, ran down his mother's leg, took office? Back in 2001? You remember the Chinese spy plane incident? Where the Chinese said, "Bush, you will apologize." And he said, "Yes, I will. I'm sorry. And if that's not good enough, I'll say I'm sorry some more. I'll say I'm sorry all day long, because, you know, I know you're holding a whole bunch of bad debt on us, and boy, I tell you, you've got us by the short ones. I'm sorry. Is that all right? I'm sorry." You know, the Dalai Lama met with, the holiest man on earth met with Bush today. I'm guessing there's not going to be just a whole lot of pressure put on China about the state of affairs in Tibet. No. So, while we're worrying about these eight nations, well, really six, because we're not going to mention Saudi Arabia and China, we're not worrying about the states in our own union that trample the rights, the religious rights, of people every day by denying them the right to be married within the eyes of the government after they've been married within the eyes of the church. Don't you love the way these guys operate? I do. Look, let's take a break, and when we come back, a couple other items out of the electoral process from yesterday. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
1, 2, 3, 4. Walking down the highway heading to New Orleans. A thumb in the air and a pair of tight jeans. He'd fallen on the lean time, so all he had to pack was some 8x10 glosses and a shirt on his back.
I'm 5.
I'm 9.
I'm
turned 4 and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. 12 minutes before the hour, or almost. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. A little reminder, the phone number is 304-658-3333. That's four threes, 3333. Or 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. Now, some of the other things that did happen, well, like a resounding, whomping defeat yesterday. Not just, you know, not just for Jerry Kilgore, he who formerly had well, you got to see the old pictures of Jerry Kilgore with his little porno mustache. But beyond that, a resounding defeat for Bush, because just the day before he came down there, the day before the election, stumping for Jerry Kilgore, standing there waving and little hand-picked audience like he has everywhere he goes. And it was political death. It was just political suicide. And the last time Bush had gone down to Virginia to stump for Jerry Kilgore said, I hear my mom calling. I gotta go. I can't be there with you, Mr. President. But Bush went down yesterday and just finished the sinking of the Kilgore ship. So that was pretty nice. Now, on the other hand, an interesting piece of legislation passed out in San Francisco. And I'm sure that even at this moment, they're having a hissy at National Republican Rifle Association headquarters, because the city of San Francisco passed a measure that just said flat out, it's illegal for residents of the city of San Francisco to possess handguns. And I don't have that much of a problem with that. D.C.'s the same way. Now, oddly enough, they didn't pass a resolution against, shotguns, 30-06s, 7mm. No. No ban on 30-30s. Just bans on the very instruments that are designed to kill people. Not designed to kill deer. They're not designed to, they are designed to kill other human beings. So, like I said, there's bullet-shaped flop sweat flying out of the head of Wayne LaPierre out in rock the NRA leadership lives under. Now, Washington, D.C. and Chicago have similar bans. And, I haven't seen either of them invaded by foreign troops because people can't have handguns. And frankly, if you want to talk about home defense, you don't need a handgun. You need a 410. You don't want something that's going to pierce walls and hit your kids or your wife or your loved ones. You want something that's going to stop the person in front of you and maybe not and do minimal damage in the way of going through walls and hitting innocent bystanders. Nothing better than a good old-fashioned 410 shotgun for that. So, I haven't seen it yet, I got to admit, but I'm sure this stuff is coming out of the National Republican Rifle Association. Right? It's a grim day for America, for handguns have been banned in San Francisco. Will your town be next? Oh, brother. I mean, San Francisco has a police department. They can generally get to wherever you are fairly quickly. There is a bit of a difference here. Well, for instance, in wild, wonderful West Virginia, there are places where you're so far from law enforcement that the best you can hope for in a bad situation is that they'll get there in time to draw the chalk line around the body. And that's why it's a different thing about where guns are concerned in West Virginia. Let's go ahead. Yeah, we got time for a phone call. Let's go to John. Hey, John, you're head on.
How you doing, Bob?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm listening to you now.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Hey, that chili was good, too.
Oh, thank you a lot. I think we're going to have to make twice as much next year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess y'all sold it all, huh?
Down to the scrapings in the bottom of the pot.
Oh, that was good.
And it was, I think we were just about the last people at the Chili Festival that had it.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think it'll be better next year because we'll be a little bit better prepared. We ran out of spoons, we ran out of napkins, we ran out of cups,
Was that your first time being up there?
Yeah, well, it was my first time competing. I'd been there before as a spectator.
But this was the first time for me and my wife.
It sure was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
I really
enjoyed it.
I had a blast meeting you as well. How on earth did you... Did you find out about the show? We're getting ready to run ads in Beckley, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, you gave me a card.
Well, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So we kept that card, and I told my wife last night, I said, we're going to have to check on Bob. we pulled you up on the computer tonight.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do it last night, John. It was just awful.
That's what they say.
We had a thunderstorm come through here you would not have believed. It was like a firework. It was like a fireworks display.
You kidding?
No, it took. We sent the signal up to Ben Birch at White Rose Society via a real high-tech internet line that I don't fully understand, wiped out our telephones, killed half of our telephone processor. It was amazing.
Oh, man.
So, you know, like I said, I'm glad you got us tonight because we sounded terrible last night.
Well, I'm glad I did, too.
But it's awful good to know you're there, and my regards to your lovely wife, and I hope you'll be around every night now.
I will. You know, Dr. Beal gave it up.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I was really shocked. I read that in the paper, you know. About 2 or 3 weeks he didn't come on. I told my wife something wrong here.
Well, I miss it terribly because I used to love to tune him in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I did, too.
And I think the airwaves in Beckley are by far the worst for his absence.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But, you know, hopefully, I don't know, maybe that'll change somewhere down the road. I think Doc needed a little bit of a break, too.
I think he did, too. I think he was pressed for a lot of time, what I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, running a college, doing a talk show, and that seminar he runs in the summer, he goes about 16 hours a day on that thing. The man needs a vacation.
Yeah. I was hoping you would take his spot.
Well, I don't know. Now that we're back up and running, I'd be more than tickled to death to let WWNR have the show.
I would, too.
So maybe if people ring the phone there and let them know that there's an audience for it, maybe somebody could reconsider. You don't know.
Well, you can count on me.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, John.
All right, buddy.
You take care now. Good
right.
to hear from you.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. We're right on top of it. Let's go ahead and hit our break, then the top of the hour thing that we do. We'll come back and, let's see. Anybody know what white phosphorus is? The veterans do. We're at it again. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
All right, welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour, hour number two, tonight's Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Let's see, let's jump right to the phones. Michael is with us. Hey, Michael, you're Head On. No, Ah, doggone it. Try again, Michael. I'm terribly sorry. We'll get it right next time. Michael wanted to talk about what went down in Kansas today. I would assume the dumbing down of the American people. Yeah. So we'll save that issue. But I've gone an hour and I haven't talked about the obvious. Clearly the biggest story of the day, especially, you know, if you check the news channels, nothing else happened in the world today except the bombing in Jordan. Interestingly enough, on the 9th day of November, which would be 9/11, if you look at, you know, we say 11/9 for November the 9th. The rest of the world writes 9/11. So, you know, these guys have they have a taste for symbolism. Wasn't the Madrid bombing on the 11th day of another month? They seem fond of that. But at any rate, the last, 120-some-odd human beings dead in the rubble of the Marriott and the Days Inn and the Hyatt? No, Hyatt Radisson and Days Inn in Amman, Jordan. Suicide bombers. And I was sitting there watching it with my dad. And he looks over at me and says, "You know, it wouldn't have happened if Bush hadn't started all this foolishness in Iraq." And it's true. Was Amman being bombed by suicide bombers before George Bush lost his patience and started this ugly, filthy, hateful little war in Iraq? No, it wasn't. Suicide bombers in the Palestinian-occupied territories and in Israel? Yes. Suicide bombers in Amman? Not so much. And if I recall correctly, weren't we told that the reason we were starting the war in Iraq, he's got weapons of mass destruction, he's going to nuke New York and London in 45 minutes, he's a really bad man, he gasses his own people, you know, one after the other, as each domino fell, as each theory fell apart, it became obvious that they were making it up as they go along. But one of those reasons that was put forward was, if we have a war in Iraq, it'll draw all the tourists to Iraq, and we won't have to fight them here because they'll all be flypaper. That was it. The flypaper theory, yeah. Iraq was flypaper, and every terrorist on earth was going to go to Iraq. Well, a few managed to slip through to Madrid. And a few more managed to slip through to London. And a few slipped through today to, Amman, Jordan. There's 120, God, lots and what the hell does the number matter? If it's one, it's one too many, isn't it? If it's one, that's one person that didn't have to die had George Bush not decided to destabilize the entire Middle East. God, your heart just breaks. 100, 1,000. You know, it's one of those John Donne moments where, you know, you ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee, and there's only one of you. And is that, where are the wing nuts when you need them? I need an explanation for why it is that those hotels in Amman, Jordan, which were all hotels that were frequented by Americans, so the motive was obvious. Where are the wing nuts to explain to me how this isn't George Bush's fault? Where? Another one of Saddam's defense attorneys, or the people accused with him, was slaughtered yesterday, day before yesterday. Yeah, day before yesterday. The killing is not, you know, Iraq and the entire Middle East have been reduced to a killing field. And I mentioned Willie Pete, White Phosphorus. Jethro made some reference to it when he called in on Monday night. That is a particularly heinous, horrifying weapon of mass destruction. But, of course, you got to understand, we make the rules, okay? We make the rules. Therefore, if we choose to use white phosphorus, it's okay. If we choose to use napalm, only we'll give it a spiffy new name, MK-77, that's okay. There's nothing terroristic in just dropping bombs on populations, regardless of whether they're civilians or combatants, and just letting them burn. And guess what? After a couple of days, when the white phosphorus story broke, the wingnuts said, "No, we're not. We're not really using that. No, no, heavens no. We would never use such a thing as that." Turns out, an Army publication. Yeah, that our Army. The March edition of Field Artillery Magazine. An article called "The Fight for Fallujah." Fallujah. Remember Fallujah? We're not talking about Vietnam. We're not talking about the Second World War. We're talking about now. We're talking about Fallujah. We're talking about white phosphorus that's pretty much outlawed. WP, this is a quote, "WP proved to be an effective and versatile munition. We used it for screening missions at two breaches and later in the fight as a potent psychological weapon against the insurgents in trench lines and spider holes, when we could not get effects on them with HE, high explosives. We fired shake-and-bake missions at the insurgents using white phosphorus to flush them out and heavy explosives, high explosives, to take them out." Because, you see, a couple of days ago, our government, your government, my government, we the people, our government came out and said, "Oh, we only use white phosphorus for illumination in the nighttime." So that was just a lie. And we're using it freely. And we've got a cute, catchy little name for it. Shake and bake. Because the stuff just touches your skin and keeps burning, and you can't put it out. You can't make the flames die down. You can't make it go away. It just burns you because the mere contact with air will make it burn. And it forms a chemical cloud. And it kills everything within a tenth of a mile. Wait a minute, chemical cloud? Chemical cloud? Would that be gas? Wait a minute. Saddam was a bad man because he gassed his own people, and I'll be damned, we're gassing the Iraqis. And that's not me, man. That's not me.
He's an American.
No, damn it. That's Field Artillery Magazine in March. You understand?
Oh, we were only using it for illumination purposes.
And just stand there and lie. And people literally have the flesh burned off of them. Women, children, dogs, and people fighting us. It makes no difference. Let's see, Fallujah, that would be Arabic for Dresden, wouldn't it? Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
he cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house,
exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or, a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Tune called Blues for Allah, album called Blues for Allah, Grateful Dead. Wonder about the Blues for Fallujah. Yeah, look, listen to this quote. I mean, this is from that Field Artillery magazine article. I mean, some enterprising soul out on the internets. Remember the internets? Some enterprising soul out on the internet found this article in Field Artillery. Chris Floyd, I believe, is his name. And put it up for all to read. ABC doesn't know this. NBC doesn't know it. CBS doesn't know it. CNN, Headline News, CNBC, MSNBC, God knows not Fox. None of them know this. Because it's not easy. It's easy just to listen to some spokesman like Larry Derrida at the Pentagon. Oh, we are only using shells for illumination purposes. And they never bother to look to Field Artillery magazine and find the account of Corporal Nicholas Boggart, 22, of Morris, New York. He's a mortar team leader, a Marine. He said, we had all this SASO, security and stabilization operations training back home, and this turns into a real beep-beep war. Just as his team started to eat a breakfast of packaged rations, Boggart got a fire mission over the radio. Stand by, he yelled. Shake and bake. Joking and rousting each other like boys just seconds before, the men were instantly all business. He received his coordinates. They called out the settings for a gun they call Sara Lee. And then they inserted a white phosphorus round into the gun and living hell for whatever it hit. Man, woman, child, what have you. But the Pentagon said, oh, we're only using them for illumination. God, if only there was a stained blue dress involved with this, maybe we could stop ruining our collective national karma, if you will, or soul, and start fixing some of this mess. But I don't know. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on. Ed, you there, Ed?
You hear me?
There you are.
Okay. Yeah, I just listening to the program here a little bit, and that sounds awful good, but probably you covered some of what I was going to talk about before I made it back home. I wanted to comment some on how naive the Republican Party is, or the conservatives, or the jerks, or whatever you want to call them.
I like jerks. That works.
Yeah, but, you know, the Republicans were laying back, waiting on to see if they could carry Virginia. Nobody's saying nothing. Then when he lost it, it didn't mean nothing.
Right, yeah.
But even the administration out of the White House says that it's not a good reflection. But yet we got the Dirty Dozen in Beckley, headed up by Steve O'Brien, that denies, you know, it denies anything. He denies the polls and everything else. And then you got the king of the weed eater over there, that he's second in line, and it's so disgusting. I listened to a little bit of that this morning, and the thing that I don't like to won't hardly listen to that program at all is because of the way they do Jim and Jethro. That is living proof right there that anybody that knows a little bit more than the host of that show does not get your foot in the door, and they're radical. They're everything that don't belong to the Dirty Dozen.
Well, you know, Ed, what it boils down to, what you're talking about there is the last vestiges of George Bush's support. And it happens in other parts of the country, too. You know, there's going to be a hardcore, slimy, squirming, snaky little knot of people that no matter what you prove to them about how filthy George Bush and his cronies are, they're always, Ed, they're always going, oh, yeah, he's a friend of Jesus, and that's enough for them.
Yeah, I talked to some Christians about that today, but the Christians are slowly realizing that guy is leading them down the wrong road. But here's what gets me on it. They're so stupid, and I do mean stupid. It ain't a matter of being ignorant, because the ignorance is taken away when the fact is put before them.
Yeah, ignorance can be cured.
Yeah. Well, here, 60% of the nation, or better, is against George Bush and his cronies. And here we got the Beckley bunch of Bushes that is still harping about how good he is, and we're all Bush bashers. And it's just so disgusting to even, that's the reason I won't listen to that station, just very little, unless someone tells me they're going to call in, that I want to hear what's
well, Ed, you know, why is it if we just talk about the things that they're doing wrong and the things that they're doing evil, why does that have to be Bush bashing? Now, I mean, I Bush bash, I admit it.
That's their intimidation, Bob. That's their way of trying to discourage us from coming out. And it's like one of the cronies in the Dirty Dozen I'm talking about got on there and said, why do we have to bring up anything bad and expose us for what we are? In other words, if we're dirty slime balls, let's push it under the rug and till the rug wears out. You know.
Sure.
And that's what it, that's what they do. They're in such a state of denial and lying that we can sweep anything that we do wrong under the rug, and it's okay.
Right. And but you know, if a Democrat does it.
Oh, we never. I mean, it's always brought up. Bill Clinton did this, you know, and you know when that's just about half truth in what they say about that.
Well, yeah. Well, the latest talking point is that the Iraq War is Bill Clinton's fault.
Yeah, oh, I know it, and you know, I don't know how in the world they can come up with that kind of statement when. Clinton didn't give him 28 days left and counting down to get out for Saddam Hussein to do this. And
no, and he didn't start a war with Saddam even after Saddam had agreed to go into exile either.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed, we've got to hit our break, but it's awful good hearing from you, man.
All right. Appreciate your program, Bob.
Take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Bottom of the hour. We'll come back and, let's see. How about some happy news from Afghanistan? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Yes.
sailed on the water, waters of my life, wind at my back, I cut like a knife, the stars I followed, they led me true, till I changed direction, started following you. Now I'm shipwrecked, so far from home. I'm just shipwrecked. Shores of stone. Well, I have gone hungry, crazy thirst. I got no one to blame, unless I blame myself first. 'Cause I saw that horizon and I felt that chill. Thought that I could catch you, baby. Now I never will. 'Cause I'm shipwrecked. So far from home. 'Cause I'm shipwrecked. On these shores. Just a message in a bottle, baby. This is just a sad communique. These are just some things I want to tell you. Nowadays.
Welcome back. Oh, 26 minutes and change before the hour. We're halfway through this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. As we contemplate the bombing that happened in Jordan, you have to remember, well, and when you hear the bombing today in Amman, Jordan was likely perpetrated by Al-Qaeda number one in Iraq, Abu Musab Zarqawi. Sounds terribly, terribly authoritative, doesn't it? He didn't become Al-Qaeda number one in Iraq until well after we started this war. He was just a common garden variety, low-rent terrorist of Jordanian extraction who saw an opportunity to raise a ruckus in Iraq. And isn't it curious the way they use Al-Qaeda number one? No, wait. Who is Al-Qaeda number one? About 6 feet four, really skinny, one kidney, portable dialysis machine. Answers to name bin Laden, just like the same last name of George Bush's first business backers back when he was forming Arbusto Energy. Yeah, that bin Laden. There's your Al-Qaeda number one. See, you see how the misdirection works? Sure you do. But anyway, Zarqawi. Long about the same, well, a year, March, okay? March 2004. Jim Mikliszewski, a reporter at NBC, filed a report. You know, and again, this is a year and a half ago. With Tuesday's attacks, Abu Musab Zarqawi, a Jordanian militant with ties to Al-Qaeda, is now blamed for more than 700 terrorist killings in Iraq. But NBC News has learned that long before the war, the Bush administration had several chances to wipe out his terrorist operation and perhaps kill Zarqawi himself, but never pulled the trigger. Yeah, but remember, wait, Bob. Remember how Clinton fired them missiles into them tents in Afghanistan and that aspirin factory? That's how they operate. I mean, you can see it time and again. You can see it with the wing nuts on my boards at headonradio.com. You corner them, you put a question to them, and they sit there and slither and do anything but answer the question. And the question here is, why did the Bush administration not kill Zarqawi when they had a chance? In June 2002, U.S. officials say intelligence had revealed that Zarqawi and members of al-Qaeda had set up a weapons lab at Kerma in northern Iraq, producing deadly ricin and cyanide. Now, there's your weapons of mass destruction. Only, it wasn't any of Saddam's doing, and it was taking place in the part of Iraq that was directly under our protection, the Kurdish North. Here we had targets, we had opportunities, we had a country willing to support casualties or risk casualties after 9/11, and we still didn't do it, said Michael O'Hanlon, military analyst with the Brookings Institution. Because while the Pentagon, when they had this information in June 2002, the Pentagon rushed out plans to attack the camp with cruise missiles, you know, like Clinton did with those tent camps in Afghanistan, and airstrikes, they sent it to the White House, and the plan was debated to death in the National Security Council, according to Jim Mikleshevsky. The Pentagon later drew up a second airstrike plan. And then in January 2003, police in London arrested six terror suspects and discovered a ricin lab connected to the camp in Iraq. You know, the camp that Saddam wasn't running. On and on and on. They had a chance to kill Zarqawi, who has since then been involved in killing how many of our own people? But they didn't want to do it. Why? This is a quote. People were more obsessed with developing the coalition to overthrow Saddam than to execute the president's policy of preemption against terrorists. David said it the other night so very well. Why won't George Bush protect the United States? Why are we involved in this war in Iraq with people who never lifted a finger against us until we started a war with them? Why? Why can the White House not live up to its oath? Why can George Bush not find the courage or the nerve or the stamina or the guts or the go to deal with a thug like Zarqawi when he has the information with which to do it? They were more interested in toppling Saddam than wiping out a terrorist who was trying to make chemical weapons, who has gone on and developed a devoted following that, according to the survey commissioned by the Defense Ministry in Great Britain, now include, by the time you get down to Basra, 65% of those surveyed say that it's okay to kill an American soldier or a British soldier or, you know, whatever is left of the coalition, the billing, maybe one of those Moroccan monkeys. No, I'm not talking about people from Morocco. Morocco actually offered to send monkeys. I don't know if they had the groovy little vests and the bat wings like the Wizard of Oz, but that was the first thing that came to mind for me, just like it probably was for you. So Zarqawi is probably behind the deaths of over 100 human beings in Amman, Jordan. He's behind the deaths of God knows how many hundreds, if not thousands, of American soldiers now. But we couldn't be bothered to take him out when we had a chance. Yeah, but you know, Bill Clinton. Oh, shut up with the Bill Clinton. Yes, dear.
Could it be a personal problem with a little greed mixed in?
On Bin Laden, sure, but on Zarqawi?
Well, you know, one of your FOBs, Stephen, mentioned something the other day, and if you look into history, Vlad the Impaler. We were going to do the story on Halloween, but didn't get to it.
Sure, the original Dracula.
Yeah.
How does he tie into Zarqawi?
If you read the history on it, it's kind of creepy. It reminds you of George Bush.
Oh, you mean how he started out on one side and then betrayed the side that he was on and went it, yeah. Oh my God, we've got a reincarnated Dracula in the White House. Well, but you know, if you go to bartcop.com, every now and then you'll see that, and it's all over the internet too, that picture of George Bush with the blood dripping fangs, having just sunk those fangs into the neck of the Statue of Liberty. Yeah, it works. It works for me. So when you hear that Zarqawi is behind the bombing in Amman, Jordan, just remember we had a chance to take him out, and the Bush administration said, no, Saddam's the bad man. Saddam's the one who's making the chemical weapons, even though they had evidence that it was Zarqawi. What are you going to do? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
In the supermarket, there is music while you work. It drives you crazy, sends you screaming. Work there for a year or two and you can get to like it. I don't work in supermarkets anymore.
In a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, Bacon Brent,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Yes, we can bomb most any land. On CNN with marching bands. Pour ourselves an ice cold Coke. Make a war. Tell a joke. Yes, I am American.
Indeed, indeed. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is Head On. A reminder, the phone number is 877, the number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366, or 304-658-3333. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. And as we discuss Jordanian terrorists, it's worth remembering, as our buddy David in South Carolina reminds us, that a Jordanian who now lives in Iraq is visiting D.C. this week. David says, this week, infamous intelligence fabricator Ahmed Chalabi, the guy we paid $360,000 a month to just make stuff up. Wow. Is coming to Washington. David says, I've heard rumors he'll be staying in a luxurious block of 8 suites at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, and he has meetings arranged with high-ranking administration officials, including kind of sleazy Rice. This is a man who was reportedly the source for much of the cooked-up and fraudulent intelligence foisted on the American people to justify going to war in Iraq. Yeah. David notes, that fraud has now resulted in the death of over 2,000 American soldiers. This is a man who's been accused of passing U.S. intelligence secrets to Iran. Yep, bingo that too, David. This week, he's being greeted as an esteemed dignitary by Secretary of State Rice. That's a disgrace. I beg to differ, David. That's not a disgrace. That's par for the course. L. Paul Bremer and Tommy Franks completely screwed up the entire Iraq situation with the Coalition Provisional Authority. Presidential Medal of Freedom. Mike Brown worries about whether his sleeves are rolled up and tells his friends what to order at Sonic. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Paul Wolfowitz makes up a reason for war. Head of the World Bank. David says, while he's here, I have some questions for him, and I and many of my colleagues would like to meet with him to discuss those questions. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm attributing this to David, and apparently it comes from a congressional source. David, the guy has some quotation marks. He needs to answer for his role in one of the most tragic scandals in American history. And there is a call for him to come clean before the Congress under oath. And he said, I will come to the Congress. I'm not sure that I will be taking your oath. You know, and of course, if you're a Bush administration crony, you remember, you don't have to take an oath. 9/11 Commission, George shows up and sits on big-time Dick Cheney's lap, like some sort of Mortimer Snerd to Cheney's Edgar Bergen. Time after time. Condoleezza Rice, she had to be goaded into testifying. Oh, God. Thanks for the info, David. I appreciate it. Also, another an email from our pal Sue down on Coal River. The Bush administration thinks if they give something a cute little name, it'll be easier for the public to swallow. Operation Iron Fist. Clear Skies Initiative. Healthy Forests. But she says, thinking back, the best one is transfer tubes. The new word for body bags. I guess Bush thinks that will soften the blow. They didn't send someone home in a body bag. They used a transfer tube. It just sounds so Republican. What was the song that they sang at the air base in Saigon? You'll come home in a body bag, doo-dah, doo-dah. Does that work with transfer tube? Yeah, they're probably singing that. They know.
Sounds like something at a bank.
Yeah, transfer tube. Yeah, that's that little pneumatic thing at the bank drive-thru. Yeah, good call, honey.
Thank you.
And thanks to Sue. So, deadly Jordanian Zarqawi, deadly Jordanian Chalabi. And remember, you do know... I mean, if you had your druthers and you were Ahmed Chalabi, would you prefer to live in Iraq or Jordan? A lot less killing. I mean, granted, there were some bombings there today. Generally, a lot less slaughter going on in Jordan. There's only one problem for Chalabi. Now, bear in mind, this guy's going to shake hands and make kissy face with the Bush administration. The man is a convicted embezzler. He wiped out an entire bank in Jordan. That's why he can't live in Jordan. You see? Crooks. Crooks all around. My God, G. Gordon Libby, for God's sakes. No, that was intentional. Yeah, Scooter, G. Gordon Libby. You know, just another punk Republican crook. Another dirty, dirty, dirty political killer. I've been to apartments on the bad side of town in the deep south that were cockroach infested. And that's the image that comes to mind whenever I think of the people's house at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue now. It's just infested with vermin. It's infested with crooked, poisonous, sick-making fiends. How dare they set up meetings with Ahmed Chalabi? You know, Ahmed Chalabi, whose buddy was the guy that the German intelligence nicknamed... Oh, what kind of pitch? What was it? Screwball? Curveball. You know, the guy that was just sitting around getting loaded and making stuff up to start a war because they personally knew they were going to make a fortune when the war started. $360 a month is not bad scratch. It's better than any of our soldiers are making. Hell, it's better than a senator makes. And that is what we paid to Ahmed Chalabi, who for a while had an arrest warrant out for his sorry rear end when they caught him passing information to the Iranians. Oh, my God. And he's going to be honored with a state visit. Oh, the flag, the Constitution, the glorious history of this nation. And every time I think that the Bush administration can't find yet another way to just gut stomp the glory that was America, they one-up me. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.